everywhere in the name of jihad, you will find Pakistanis. Why? They are everywhere because they love Islam and they were befooled. So this is a simple question which is being dealt in Pakistan. What is our responsibility? I think best what we can do is awareness. Raise our voice. Aware them what's going on. And as the brother was telling you, if that was the case in any other part of the world, there was a huge cry in media. There is nothing in Pakistan. And there is nothing in international media. Just 3 weeks, not even 3 weeks, we had a sit-in in Karachi. Tens of thousands of people remain on the street in the cold winter for 42 hours. None of the Pakistani media covered that event. None of the Pakistani media. They never showed anything how people sacrificing their life to protect others. But they never given them coverage. So this is Pakistan. You have a very cruel reality in Pakistan. Very complex reality. Very complicated reality. With people who are very good, very sincere, very loving, but unfortunately unguided or misguided by others. So I hope with the sincerity which they have in their heart and with the tendency for serving Islam, I hope there will be a day when Pakistan will be a true spirit of Islam. We need to work on it. We don't be misguided by the sense of sectarianism which was created in Pakistan, the sense of militancy which was given to Pakistanis, entitled. So if you name Pakistan, you will feel militancy and jihadism and sectarianism. But this is a title which was given, and I hope, as I mentioned, with the sincerity which they have, inshallah, we will have a loving Pakistan. Inshallah, we will have a peaceful Pakistan. A Pakistan which will be developed, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We're now going to move on, inshallah, to the Q&A session. Of course, thank you very much to Sayyid Ali Murtaza Zaidi for your very enlightening and informative presentation. Of course, you can ask any questions that you wish to ask. There are pens and papers going around, so you can write down your question. Inshallah, we will patch them through. Some questions were emailed to us prior to this event, so we'll start with those questions, and then once you have your own questions, we can move on to them. Sayyid Murtaza Ali Zaidi, firstly, thank you very much indeed for your address. One of the questions that came through via email before this event is, to what extent is the government in Pakistan to blame for what is currently taking place?
Yeah, when you talk about government of Pakistan, this is a title again, which has many aspects to deal. Pakistani government is partially responsible for what's happening in Pakistan, because there are more powerful group in Pakistan than even government of Pakistan. So what we call government, a president, a prime minister, a parliament, they have more powerful groups in Pakistan than this setup. And that group may be army, and in army we have institutions, agencies, those are very powerful in Pakistan. They can throw every government, you know, in Pakistan. Most of the time we had martial law, we had the rule of army on the government. So not only government is responsible, but those agencies, I think they are more responsible for whatever is happening in Pakistan. And then third group is bureaucracy. In Pakistan we have a very strong bureaucracy which is playing with some sort of people in Pakistan. So government is logically responsible because they are in power, they have the control and they have the resources. But beside government, other elements are also to be blamed, and I think the best of the points should be given to, most emphasis be given to the agencies. Agencies in the army, agencies in the military forces, those are more responsible than government, but government is equally responsible.
In your presentation, you made reference to the fact that we need to create awareness in order to try and make a difference. If in Pakistan the government is not your standard government, as you would have in Western countries, for example, or indeed many other countries. Where should the pressure actually be exerted when it comes to creating awareness on an international front?
This is, I think, first step to realize that not only the government is responsible, but other parties are also responsible. And I know, I can say this is not a fact which is in secret for them. If you talk about British government, they know it very well who is responsible and who is going to work in Pakistan. Everyone knows that. For example, in Britain, in America, in European countries, everyone knows that government is some sort of, unfortunately I can say, a puppet for them. But the real strength and the real power goes to those agencies and armies. So if you just talk to the government and say if they should use their influence on those agencies and talk to them that what's going on in Pakistan, they do it. I mean, it's not a new thing for us to teach them that in Pakistan government is not powerful, this and the group which is powerful, and you must go there. They know it very well.
Another question from the floor is, Shias today are being killed by those who claim to be Sunni. How do we preserve unity in these circumstances?
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned here during the speech, that there is a tendency between Shias to go inward. This is, I think, the worst solution in this kind of situation. We have to keep our relationship with Sunnis, we have to have contacts with them in every sphere of life. So this contact can remove the misunderstanding, those misunderstandings which are promoted by those guys. I'll tell you an event just a few days back. There was a guy who was, and 2 points here I should mention, there's a guy who was a leader of a militant group, and he was attacked in one of the areas of Karachi. Then he gave an interview after his attack, and he loudly, very clearly, in front of news and media, and he said, "I will make this city such that no Sunni will shake hand with any Shia." Now they clearly telling their agenda. They are clearly announcing it. And all the media are watching that guy, and they don't dare to tell government or to themselves, why should we cover this person? Now, they censored this part of his interview, but it is available on YouTube. You can go and you can watch it. This is one. Another thing. Around 3 days back, there is a police officer which gave a very good report to ponder on, and he said that we collected 7,000 bullet cases from different events of sectarian killing. For example, a case from a Sunni, a case from a Shia, those were killed, and he said we collected 7,000 bullet cases. And going through the forensic report of these casings, he said in 90 cases it was the same weapon which was used. In 90 cases, same weapon was used against a Sunni scholar, so-called Sunni scholar. Those might not be a good title to be given to them. They were Wahhabi, Salafist and Takfiri group. That alim and another person, a Shia lady doctor and his husband, who was also Shia, they were killed. So in 90 cases, same weapon was used. So it is very clear that Sunnis, general Sunni majority, is not involved. There is a group which is doing this, and they are getting benefit of lack of awareness. So this awareness we should create.
Sure. Another question again from the floor is, how do we find leadership who will take the Shia in Pakistan at a level of Iran? In essence, in your presentation, you did make reference to the fact that there's a lack of leadership.
How?
How can we take the leadership in Pakistan and increase it to the extent or empower it to the extent that it becomes like the leadership in Iran, where it's very clear and very decisive?
Yeah, I mentioned it that we were not aware of the complexity of the situation when Iranian revolution, Islamic revolution happened. We were not prepared for that thing. But everyone turned to us in Pakistan, and they made it a battlefield for us. I think we are slowly and gradually we are learning our process. I think there were no person in between a few years when Islamic revolution happened, and the main person who was leading us, Allama Arif Hussain Husseini, was got matired. But then gradually people are coming together in groups, and a sort of leadership is appearing now. But in my opinion, I think it will take time. It will take time for Pakistanis to realize and to learn the complexity of the situation, and to learn the challenges which they are facing. So in my opinion, though we don't have clear-cut single-person leadership in Pakistan, but we are on way towards unity, we are on way towards understanding, and I hope that the way we are going, and unfortunately pressures are also here from enemies, it will make us think better, and it will be it will make us be united and following a single leadership. It will take time, but we are on the way.
Another question from the floor again. It says, when it comes to Sunni and Shia killings, or Shias that have been killed, not necessarily by Sunnis, but by extremists, what is the position when it comes to Shias killing Sunnis in Pakistan? Number one, is this taking place? And number two, are we also speaking out against that on an institutional level?
Yes. Looking at the report of that police officer, which is a good document, I think there was some people from Shias who started this thing in the early times when it started. I think it was in late 90s when a few group of Shias were involved in this type of activity. But during last 10 years, I don't think so. I don't think that Shias were institutionally involved in this thing. And I think there is someone else who is playing in the name of Shias, as supported by this document. So in my opinion, there is no Shia group which is institutionally or organized in an organized way involved in the killing of Sunnis or other Muslims. So this can happen in the name of Shias, but it's not Shia. And if that happens, we are clearly going to denounce that, because in Pakistan, killing against killing never been a solution for anyone. Killing against killing. So one more point I would like to raise here. There is a simple thing to do. Kill someone and send a message to the community that, okay, your guy was killed. And kill someone else and send another message that said, okay, those guys killed your person. And this is happening in Pakistan. Very easily happening in Pakistan. So every time there is a person killed, you will receive tens of messages telling you that this has happened, and so you have to show yourself. So they are provoking, but I'm confident that right now there is no single Shia group which is involved in this type of brutality, and if it happens, we are clearly going to denounce that.
How can we have more unity amongst the Shia Muslims, not only indeed in Pakistan, but on a global level, so that when such oppressions do take place in Pakistan and indeed many other areas of the world, there can be a unified response?
Yeah. This is very good to understand, and I know you can understand it, that this is happening in a way with everyone. It happened in Iran in one shape, then in Iraq in another shape, then in Lebanon in another shape, and in Bahrain it is taking place, and in Saudi it is taking place, in Kuwait somehow, and in Pakistan very clearly. Unfortunately, it is happening everywhere, and in Afghanistan also. So it is taking place everywhere. Here we need to have a good leadership at that scale, covering all the Shias of the world and telling them what to do. Unfortunately, in case of Pakistan, believe me, it's happening. Whenever I went to someone and told him that this is happening in Pakistan, come and have some solution, everyone realizes that this is a complex situation. Everyone says this is very complicated to do anything here. But we need to have an stance. We need to do something. You see in the Bahrain what's happening, and you can see everywhere. So this is a need for us to come together, leave our life, personal issues and botherations, and think for the higher level of your objectives of life.
Sure. And another question that just came through. To what extent do the political parties that have influence in Pakistan, such as Bhutto's party, they are Shia or have Shia affiliations, will it, can they make a difference? And there's also a reference here to Imran Khan's party.
Yeah.
Is that a positive development?
Yeah. It was very famous in Pakistan in earlier times that Bhutto was somehow closer to Shia families, and his successors were closer to Shia families. So there were hopes in between Shias that they are going to do something. But if you look at this way, they are politicians and they are liberals in their minds. So I don't think we can rely on them that they are going to help us. I don't think, because they have their own political agenda. If you are going to vote them, yes, they can give you some sort of protection up to their own benefits, up to their own extent. And a time will come when they will say that, okay, that is enough, this is our limit, and you have to do it by yourself. So I don't believe in them right now, because I have seen them for last 30 years that they play their own game, and when it comes to us, they kept silence when we need their voice. And in case of Imran Khan, I can say this very easily, that if you go to his rallies and if you go to his parties, you can see a lot of flags of those parties which are militant parties and banned in Pakistan. They were announced terrorists, and they have full presence in the meetings and gatherings of PTI, Pakistan Tehreek Insaf. So I don't understand the guy who is leading the rally. He is looking at those flags which are banned by Constitution of Pakistan, announced terrorists, and he can't dare telling them that you cannot appear with this banned institution or terrorist organization. So the person who is so lenient and the person who cannot take this stand against this terrorism, if he comes to the power, can I believe that he is going to do something? This I can't believe. This I can't understand. And the same thing happening with PML, Muslim League, and happening with People's Party. So at a point, and another thing, at the local level also, there are political parties which they say that we are going to protect you, but everyone has his own agenda. And one more thing I would like to add from the politics of Pakistan and our connection with the politics of Pakistan. For the last 60 years, unfortunately, we could not plan ourselves what should be our objectives in Pakistan. It should have been done right at the beginning of Pakistan. You know, many of the main founders of Pakistan were Shia. Muhammad Ali Jinnah himself was Shia. And other companions of Muhammad Ali Jinnah, they were Shias, and they were powerful, and they were working with a true spirit to help Islam and Muslimin, and to form an Islamic government where everyone will live openly and freely. So they had good intentions, but unfortunately we never planned for this thing, and we just allowed others to take the benefit, and then we have this situation. So I think we should have planned ourselves. Unfortunately, during those last 60 years, we only demanded one thing from political parties, one thing only, and that is you protect our azadari. That's all. I have gone through the documents. Even when a group of Shia scholars went to Muhammad Ali Jinnah, and Muhammad Ali Jinnah said, "Why you came to meet me?" They said, "We have a demand." And he said, "What is your demand?" They said, we demand you to protect our Zadari." And he said, "This will be a free country. You don't need to worry about it. You will be protected, of course, as everyone other Muslim will be protected." So I think this might be inexperienced behavior, that we wanted a very simplified thing. Now, after being disappointed by all the political parties that they are not going to do anything, now there is another sense in Shias that, okay, Azadari is our issue and we are going to protect it by our own self. Biggest Azadari used to held in Karachi, And the biggest gathering is Ashura. And you know, some years back in Ashura there was a bomb blast. And at that time of bomb blast, no one came forward to protect us. What happened? Our scouts who were volunteers to organize a gathering, just they remained there, and they protected us. So this is a very clear indication. You can't rely on any one of them. You have to protect yourself. If it is your issue, you have to do it by yourself. And again, I'm telling you, there is a fear that with this disappointment, Shia will go inward and they will forget their contacts with other world. And this is, I'm not going to appreciate. We have to do our duties by our own self, but we have to remain in contact with other communities. So we could remove the misunderstanding which were spread by people like those guys who said, I will make a city, no Sunni will shake hands with Shia.
In your address, you made reference to the fact that when it comes to these marches, etc., that there is no protection for the Shia, or for Shias in Pakistan. One question that has come from the floor is that, should we not actually make a legion or some sort of militia that would protect Shia Muslims in Pakistan, particularly when it comes to prominent scholars, prominent activists, such marches, and such like?
Shia should
arm themselves,
yes,
in order to form some sort,
yes,
of, you know.
Now, I can understand this is a tendency in every community when it comes into trouble and no one's going to help them, that they'll raise their own weapons. But as I mentioned, three parts which they are laying for us, one of them is militancy. They want us to be militant. They want us to be militant. And what will happen if we become militant? Shia will be a militant party, na'uzubillah, just as they are another militant party. So I don't want this happen. This to happen with us, that they are killing and we are killing. We don't want this. And brother is not telling this thing. So we should be very clear that we should not go towards militancy. Now the other thing, we want to protect ourselves. What is the way to protect ourselves? I think militancy is not a good option. Militancy is not a good option. So we can use all the legal titles. We can use the titles which are legal in the Pakistani government, and through these legal titles we can protect ourselves. For example, one of the legal titles is security agencies. Security agencies. It is allowed. It is very much legal. So you can go and open an office for a security agency, and that security firm will give you guards, and you can keep the guards with yourself for your forearms and for your personalities. But in my opinion, everything should remain open and should remain legal. So going inside will never be successful in Pakistan, because we are very few in number, and I think going one by one, it will always be a case of loss for us.
Another question again from the floor is, when it comes to the plight of the Shias in Pakistan, that there is often, there seems to be this neglect. It doesn't get as much publicity,
yeah,
as other non-Pakistani causes do. An example is, if there's a march in central London, the only people that tend to turn up are those who are from Pakistan. But if, for example, there's a march concerning Iraq or Bahrain or such like, Pakistanis and indeed many other denominations will show solidarity. Why do you think that's the case?
Unfortunately, this might happen because of the routine of events which are happening in Pakistan. Someone told me from Scandinavia, he was living in Norway, and he told me something very strange. He said, once there was a blast in Pakistan, and it was in the beginning. He said, that day, whoever came to me asked me regarding that blast. Then the thing happened again, and he said the number reduced. And then afterwards he said, if something happens, no one comes and asks me what's happening. Because it has become a routine for them that this thing is going to happen in Pakistan. Just like you see in Afghanistan, someone killed, and you never pay attention who is in Afghanistan and who is killed. So this is one of the strategies that to make it acceptable, do it repeatedly, so it will be acceptable for you. So I think this is one of the strategies. If we have if you could plan ourselves, we have a few cards in our hand, very few cards in our hand to play. So first we should identify what tools and instruments we have. Second, a logical utilization of all what is left to us. Very logical utilization. For example, sit-ins, rallies, protests, banners, these are the tools which we have, and we need to be very logical to utilize them and how to utilize them. So daily protests, daily rallies will not going to give us anything. It should be very organized, and it should be in a manner that it could make a difference.
Should the ulama in Pakistan affiliate themselves further with the Islamic Republic of Iran in order to provide and empower themselves with a greater sense of unity and direction?
Yeah, it's, naturally it is very good, and we are already linked with too many people, and historically, as I told you, whatever happens in Persia, it goes towards subcontinent. So naturally, it is a very natural historical tendency that ulama from Pakistan will go to Iran for ziyarat, for their studies, and they will have contacts. This contact can do some sort of benefit, but I think 2 points we should consider. Number one, our identity. There's a problem in the identity of Shias in Pakistan. Their identity is being attached with Iranians. So there is a case, a particular typical case in the court of Akbar, and at that time, in the court of Mughal Emperor Akbar, Shias were in the court, very influential, and a person was there who had some sort of biasness against Shias, and to show that biasness, he once came to Akbar, the king, and he said that all the Shias in your court are actually spies. He said, prove it. He said, do it, just single thing. Say, whoever are local, go there, and whoever are Iranians, go that way. And you will see all of them are Shias. This is an identity, a show of identity. Now, what happens in Pakistan, from Shias too, and from enemies, it has been highlighted, and it has been endorsed, and it has been, you see, magnified, that we think that they can do something for us. So we look towards them, and we depend on them. I think this should not happen. I personally have links with Iran because of my religious sentiments, because of my background. I studied there for 12 years, and I have my teachers there. But if I want to deal issues in Pakistan, I should be on my own feet. I should have my own identity. Otherwise, no one is going to accept from me. So if you are going to work in Pakistan, first of all, pay attention to the people of Pakistan. Get their confidence first. If they are with you, you can do everything. But if you are looking somewhere else, getting benefit from others and trying them to solve your problem, never be able to solve your problem. So in my opinion, very clear, don't take it that way. I'm attached, and I want to be attached because of my religious sentiments, because of my studies, because of my past and my career, everything. But to solve the problems, I should be on my own feet. I should be on my own feet. And this has nothing to do with unity between Shias or all the world. So if an incident happens in Bahrain, we come on the street to protest. And if something happens in Iraq, we come with all our problems, we come to the street and protest against that thing. But to solve the problems in Pakistan, you should be on your own feet. You should have your own institutions, you should have your own personalities, and you should have people confidence in you as Pakistani.
Thank you. There is an interesting question here where individuals, they want to make a difference, they want to protest, they want to speak out, they want to do everything that you've suggested through your talk by way of activism and protest and such like. But the question here is saying it is often difficult because they fear for their own lives, the lives of their families, if they were to protest on a grand scale. So when they go back to Pakistan, they may find themselves in a very difficult predicament. So therefore, how does one strike the balance? How does one sort of assess the importance of protest vis-a-vis one's own safety?
Yeah. As I mentioned, our protest should be very calculated. This is one of the instruments which we have to put pressure on somewhere. So it should be very calculated, it should be very logical, but if someone goes for a protest in England and he is fearing that if I go back, my life will be in danger, what about those guys who are living already living in Pakistan? And they come to the street and they show their faces. Don't they putting their life in danger? A strange event in Pakistan in, during the last sit-in. During the sit-in, which took 42 hours around, there were men, women, children. At a certain time, the one who was announcing, he said, "Now I want all the men and all those who are at that side, be silent. Just women, just women." And only those women, those who have children in their hand, just raise their children. It was a beautiful scene. So many women under sky, under winter, with pressure, with all the risk of life, they had their children in their hands and they raised them. This is a courageous nation. And the women are very important part of this courage. So perhaps unlike me, I feel the problems, I feel the difficulties, I feel the historical background. But with this type of woman, brave woman, I am sure we have a wonderful future. No one can defeat this nation who has such brave women in themselves.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And on that note, that brings us to the end of this afternoon's proceedings. We thank Sayyid Murtada Ali Zaidi for joining us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and continue to give you strength to engage in all the good work that you are involved with, and bless you with the blessings of Ahlul Bayt in Islam, indeed not only in this world but inshallah in the hereafter. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. There is an exhibition towards the back of the hall where you will see pictures of individuals of the Shuhada who have been martyred in Pakistan, and indeed pictures of that will give you an indication of the plight of the Shiites in Pakistan. Much has been discussed this afternoon. We pray that it will be delivered with action more than anything else. Thank you to all those that have joined us. And again, we thank Sayyid Murtada Ali Zaidi for joining us. And we end with Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.